Well, good morning, New Life Church. I believe God has something special for us this morning. Well, before I go into my message, I just bless you guys. I love you. I just want you to know that. I'm just so happy that we could just come and worship together. Well, let's get into the Word of God. Let's read some scriptures. Psalms 94, verse 14. The Lord will not reject His people. He will not abandon His special possession. The Lord will never, I would like to say, will never reject His people. He will not abandon His special possession. God is talking, well, actually, David is talking in this psalm about Israelites. And if you know anything about Israelites, they have abandoned God on multiple times. Every time the life was good for them, they would abandon God. They would begin to serve Baal, Asherah, all these other gods and goddesses. They would begin to serve the gods that their flesh created, that human flesh created. And David writes here and says, the Lord will not reject His people. How cool is that? That means this: if we ever walk away, if we ever, and we have a tendency, that's why Bible calls His people sheep. And sheep have a tendency to scatter. They always look for a greener grass until they get to a place where they're by themselves, isolated, and there's a wolf going, right? And so, but Bible says that God will not reject His people. So the good news today, and maybe this is the only word that some of us needed to hear, was that I will never be rejected. And as a pastor, I gotta confess this to you, that I also drift. And I'm so glad that there are Sundays, because I get back, I get back into it. You know, life gets, you just don't see it, but you slowly begin to drift and drift and drift. So I know I drift and I know you drift. But the good news is God will never reject His people. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah 30, verse 16 and 17. Therefore, all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all of your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall be plundered, and all who prey upon you will make a prey. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. I want to read this again. For I will restore health to you and heal all of your wounds. Oh, this is powerful. I feel the presence of God already, says the Lord. That's prophetic. And I will restore health to you and heal your wounds, says the Lord. I receive that. We got wounds. We got issues. Life has been, we've been beat up, we've been hurt, we've been rejected, we've been bitter, we've been unforgiving. That creates wounds in us. I will restore health to you and heal your wounds, says the Lord. Oh, I'm excited. That's a prophetic word to us this morning. Amen. Today we're talking about root of rejection, part two. Rejection is one of the most dangerous roots and most neglected and most common in the life of a person. The rejection is so dangerous because it hurts our inner man. Rejection does not leave scars on the outside, on my physical body. But rejection is just as powerful and leaves scars on the inside. Pastor Andy has sent me a study, and since then I went and did more research, and I found out that when you get rejected, your brain responds the same way as if you got cut. So if somebody cuts you with a knife and somebody rejects you, your brain responds and releases the same hormones or whatever it releases to fight that. So when somebody says, I've been broken by life, I've been beat up, they really have been. There used to be a saying, sticks and stone may break my bones, but the words would never hurt me. That's a lie. Studies have proven this already, that words do hurt us. And Tanya, my wife, has been doing a research on this because she really wants to understand this rejection stuff. And she said that it takes like 21 days for our brain to get rid of certain words out of our mind. Is that correct? Something like that? She will do her own sermon soon, and she will tell you that research. But when we speak negative words, they continue for at least 21 days. That's why Bible says we must renew our mind. You see what I mean? Because our mind gets wounded, and it needs to be healed. 21 days to be healed. That's a long time. These words. So that's why we shouldn't allow. I read another study last night, and it said that these wounds, they are bad for our physical health. They're bad for our physical health. Rejection is. What is rejection? Rejection is a result from denial of love. That's in a nutshell. When one is loved, he's approved and accepted. That's why at New Life Church, we want to accept all people. I don't care if they're gay. I want them here. I want them to hear the word of God. I don't care if they're adulterous or fornicator or a liar or a thief. I want them sitting here listening to the word of God, because Holy Spirit has a way to take these words and speak to each individual. And I want Holy Spirit to do his work in this place. Amen. So I don't care what you're struggling with. You are welcome here. You are welcome here. One of the things Jesus said to a woman who was caught in adultery, he says, I don't condemn you. However, he said, go and sin no more. So that's what you're going to hear from here. We love you. We don't condemn you, because we don't have that power. It's above our pay grade. But what we do say is what Jesus said. And he said, go and sin no more. How did I get there? I don't know. So when one is loved, he's approved and accepted. And when one is rejected, he's disapproved and refused. I don't know if you have ever been rejected. And if you're a human being, you have been. And you will be. So today, my topic is not how not to be rejected. That's not what I'm preaching about. What I'm preaching about, how to build up an immune system that will bounce off a lot of these rejections and thoughts out of our life. That's what we're talking about. That's what I want you to know. How to not allow the seeds of rejection to go into your heart and then spread roots and then produce bitter fruits. That's the goal. God wants us to uproot those things. God wants us to be healed. Root of rejection holds us back from pursuing God's purpose for our life. Let me just say this. When we have been rejected, we don't attempt to do big things for God. Let me even tell you this. Have you ever been rejected, or at least thought you were rejected in prayer? Does that make you want to pray more? Not so much. Right? I've experienced this, and I actually had to dig this root out recently. I stopped praying big, bold prayers because I used to, when I was younger, pray these big, bold prayers, and they didn't happen right away. One of my prayers were, as a pastor, God, you know, grow this church. You promised this church is going to be big and it's going to grow, and lots of people are going to come to know you, and lots of leaders are going to be raised up in this church, And then for years, nothing happened. And so I got bitter at God. I somehow allowed the seed of rejection to fall into my heart and spread roots. And I stopped praying big prayers. The fact is, the truth is, that it didn't happen right away, but it is happening now. In my business, maybe it didn't happen right away, what I prayed for, but it is happening now. In my marriage, maybe it didn't happen right away, but it is happening now. So maybe God has a different timing than you and I. And so maybe we shouldn't stop praying big, bold prayers just because God has a different timing than we do. And so I just said, God, why? Why did I stop praying big, bold prayers? My prayers are just, God, oh, if it's your will, you know, those kind of prayers. Oh, if it's your will, you'll do it. No, God calls us in James chapter 5, verse 16. He says, call. Elijah was like a man like us, and he prayed, and heaven didn't give rain for 3.5 years. And then he stopped, and then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain. And he says, the prayer of a righteous man, of a righteous person, availeth much. God wants us to call in prayer. Jesus said a parable. He said, if you had a friend visit you in the middle of the night, and you had no food, and you had a friend who lived next door, if you go and knock on his door, what will he do? He will get up and give you what you need. He said so much more, your Father in heaven. He talked about a wicked judge. Do you remember that story? In this story, this woman was being persecuted. And so she came and nagged him. She said, save me from my persecutors. And judge says, I don't have time for you, you little woman. But she kept nagging him and say, help me, save me from my persecutors. And you know what this judge said? He said, I don't fear God, I don't fear man. But because this woman just won't leave me alone, I will rescue her. And Bible says, and Jesus said, actually, will not God defend? Will not God rescue, give answer to those who cry out to him day and night? Definitely he will. So don't let feeling of rejection come from maybe God won't answer it. He will in his own timing. And his answer will be better than what you can come up with on your own. Ladies, let me talk to you. In dating, there's a lot of rejection. I'm not just talking to ladies, I'm talking to guys. We can get rejected by guys, and we are scared to ask a lady out on a date. And the Christian guys are the biggest chickens. I don't know what it is. Somehow they think if I became saved, now I can't get married or something. Or, you know, they wait so long where Satan tempts them, and they get into all kinds of weird stuff. And what are you scared of, man? Just go and ask a girl out. She could say no. She can say yes. And if she says no, just be expecting for both answers. Don't go, oh, she's probably going to say yes, or she's probably going to say no. No, you go and you ask her out, okay, and then you marry her. All right? That's simple. I mean, how hard can it be? Make sure she's a Christian. Make sure she's involved in her church, not just, you know, everybody's a Christian nowadays. I grew up Lutheran. I grew up Baptist. You must be son of a Baptist. Right? No, just make sure she serves. She's connected. She joins a life group. She's involved. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people can claim, and that's what I teach my kids. Don't listen to just what they say. Watch what they do. If they serve in church, if they belong to a church, if they've been coming to a church for a while, you know that they're serious. If they're like, yeah, I go to church. Does anybody know you there? Well, I think Pastor knows me. I sent him an email once. Right? This has got to be serious. It's got to be serious. Anyway, how did I get away from into dating? Ladies, on your part, if you do want to get married, you have to be confident. Guys love confident girls. Amen? And it doesn't matter how you look. If you're confident, if you have a good attitude, listen to this. Guys will chase you. If you're needy, please date me, please. Somebody, I'm available. Selfie. Please, somebody. Ladies, come on. It's confidence. Don't run away from church and end up with some loser out there. Wait up in the lobby. Speak to some people. I'm so glad we probably don't have a lot of new people today. Talking to the house. But ladies, confidence. You're beautiful. God loves you. Right? You're a princess of God. The older I get, the more I see it's not how you really look. Because everybody's pretty. And in America, there's so much clothes you can make yourself look good. Right? You live in the United States of America. Look good. You're young. And there's only, yeah. Now, you might think that I'm promoting fleshiness. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Make your hair pretty, right? Because guys, the thing about guys are crazy, okay? They start with making sure you look good. Then they get to know your heart. True? You're like, you should love me for my heart. Well, guys are kind of dumb, you know? They love here at first. Oh, yeah. What kind of heart do you have? It's too late. All right. Rejection. If you live in this world, you will be rejected. Why? Because even my wife and I, we don't agree on everything. Okay? So If I want, and especially if you have a controlling personality, type A personality like I do, I want everybody to agree with me. And the older I get, I understand that people are different. They all have their own opinions. And their opinion might be different than my opinion. And actually, for sure, their opinion is different than my opinion. And if I take it too hard, I will be hurt. So what I decided to do is I decided to say, okay, you have your opinion, I have my opinion. We agree to disagree. And don't let it go too deep into your heart. I want you to talk about this at life groups. Because a lot of times we get rejected because somebody disagrees with us. Well, they're human beings. They have a right to disagree with you. They have a right maybe not to like you if they don't want to. Or me. Amen. Anyway, let's go back in here. Rejection. So rejection is a result from the denial of love. God wants more than anything is to heal us from rejection. He wants to uproot rejection out of our life. Because if you have roots of rejection, you will reject other people. And there's no worse thing than somebody rejecting somebody on purpose. It's one thing that we disagree, but rejecting somebody on purpose. So today I want to give you four secrets of how to uproot rejection. Number one, if you want to uproot rejection out of your life, solve your identity problem. Okay? Number one is solve your identity problem. Rejection is all about identity and what you base your identity on. See, whenever we base our identity on someone or something other than God's word, we make ourselves vulnerable to damage that comes from rejection. Wives, if you base your identity on your husband and what he thinks of you, as a human being, he will fail you. We teach this in premarital class big time. Your spouse will not fulfill all of your needs. They don't have the ability to make you happy. You have to find that first in God. If you are needy and demanding from people to make you happy, you will be disappointed and most miserable person in the world. And these root of rejections will grow deeper in you and hurt you and things like that. One of the places we want to be accepted is our parents. Would you agree? I said this last week. When we started at church, my mom was totally against it. Okay? And she grew up in this church that she was comfortable with. And here we're starting something new. And I felt rejected. But actually, it was because this is my thought. If anybody should, you know, be for you and be clapping for you, is your mama. And here my mom is totally not into it. Every time I come to her house trying to tell her what God is doing, she don't want to hear it. And I got bitter really fast. These roots, to the point I didn't want to go to my mom's house. To the point where I dreaded holidays. And family is the closest people on earth that you have. So if you don't have a relationship with them, I was so bitter, guys. And maybe today you're bitter because somebody doesn't receive you or accept you. It wasn't so much my mom's fault because she believes what she believes. It was me. I was finding my identity in what she thought of me. And I know many years later, we dropped off our kids, and Tanya's like, why don't you want to come in? I just don't want to come in. Just drop them off. Let's just get out of here as fast as possible. These roots of rejection, if you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you see a person in town, and you're like, you cringe inside. These roots start to choke you. You want to escape from them because you need to release them. You need to let go. Identity. And one day, I was driving out of her driveway. I remember driving on Highway 11. I remember places when God speaks to me. I know exactly where I was when God said something to me. And I'm driving, and sun is setting. It was evening. And God says, even if your mother and your father rejects you, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will accept you. I love you unconditionally. And it wasn't just here. I felt it here. But before that, I was crying out. I said, God, I don't want to feel like this. I hate feeling hurt. And I hate, it's my mom. And after God healed me, it took a while. After God healed me, now I come to my mom's house. Guess what I do? How you doing, mom? She tells me her stories. And then I tell her my story. She doesn't even ask. I'm like, Mom, this is what happened. And I start blabbing, and she goes to the kitchen. I follow her. Mom, you know? And she goes here. Hey, Mom, you know, 7 people got saved the other day. Mom, you know this person? You met him, right? God is doing great things in their life. And they're growing, and I'm just sharing. I don't care. Let her feel uncomfortable. I'm not going to feel uncomfortable around my mom, right? I'm going to be feeling comfortable no matter where I go. Listen, if you have a person who you don't feel comfortable with, come to them and say hello. In church even. Hey, how you doing? Give me a hug. Hugs solve a lot of problems. They do. Oh, my goodness. In church especially, it's easy to do because, you know, it's church. You don't do it outside of a church so much. But in church, just, hey, grab them and squeeze them really hard. And hold. 1, 2, 3. Let go. Grab. Hold. 1, 2, 3. Let go. Identity problem. Who is your identity in? Is it in your wife? Is it in your children? Is it in your job? How well you perform or no job? I became successful in a business world, and I found myself finding my identity in that. And I had to say, no, I can't. I can't. Finding your identity in that will disappoint all the time. You have to find your identity in God and who He says about you. How much money you have, what church people think of you, what kind of house, car, loan do you have, how you look, how strong you are, your physical appearance, your fame, maybe your power, maybe whatever you find your identity in. Your football team. People and things are incapable of giving you unconditional love. Now, we do need people to like us. We do need people around us. Don't get me wrong. Don't think this. I don't need anybody. I just need God. What? Bible says, if you love me, you will love your brother. So love from God will outpour into relationship with others. So it's not just, oh, I just need God. No, I need others as well. Amen. So people and things are incapable of giving you unconditional love. If you rely on people for unconditional love, you will be miserable, disappointed, and you will experience the wound of rejection. As a Christian, I want to just talk to you about one more level of rejection. As a Christian, Bible says that you will be rejected by the world. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we're going to be living with inner hurts, with inner wounds? Does that mean that, see, if you look at the Bible, most characters in the Bible were rejected. The greater they were, the more rejected they were. Noah was rejected by everybody. They were laughing at him building that big boat in the middle of nowhere. Okay? No ocean, nowhere. Right? Joseph was rejected. Daniel was rejected. Jesus was rejected. Apostles were rejected. Paul was rejected. I mean, no matter who you look at, they were rejected. David was rejected by his brothers, by his father. I want to read some to you. Psalm 27:10. This is David. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. This is David. There was a point in life where his mother and father forsake him. There was a point in life where his brothers and sisters forsake him. There was a point in life when his own king wanted to kill him. And this is what he wrote. Even when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. You have to put your identity in Christ. What does that mean, put your identity in Christ? Number 2 is this. Find your identity from the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about you? See, when we base our identity on people, they don't know who we are. They're not qualified to identify who we are. But when we base our identity on the Word of God, we make ourselves virtually immune from rejection. What does God say about you? I would love to invite my wife here just for 2 minutes. Would you give her a hand? Would you give her a hand? Don't we look good in this number 4 thing? Tell us about the identity and how you, just quickly, your testimony.
Well, I got married really young, and so this man here became my everything, just everything, and couldn't imagine my life without him. And so his opinions were very, very important to me, how he looked at me. So, like, I remember from the beginning of our marriage, you know, like him, he said something about the weight. And I was like, oh my goodness, he thinks I'm fat. And so I was like, I would starve, then I would, you know how it is. When you starve and then you start eating, you like gain, you know, the double of what you lost. And so like the yo-yo started. And so, and then like he wouldn't even say anything at all. And his glance at me, the way he would look at me, I would think, oh, he thinks I'm fat. And so like I tried so many different diets. I changed my hair from black to white to like I've red. I've been every color you can imagine. And so, like, it was so, like, even when I lost weight and I was like, okay, now he will love me. You know, who was it, Leah, who said, you know, now I had the baby, now he will love me. And so I didn't get that satisfaction from him. He was like, yeah, awesome, good for you. And so I found myself getting deeper and deeper into this despair that no matter what I do and no matter what he does, I'm not happy. And so, like, I'll demand happiness from him. You're my husband, make me happy. And so one day I just... You know, I just got so tired of it. And I just, you know, I said, God, and God was speaking to me in so many words through scripture and everything. He said that, you know, one day he might not be here. He might be taken away from me, you know, to heaven. I mean, accidents happen, things happen. He's not forever. Husbands leave wives every day. So see, I mean, you can't put your trust, and he's a godly man and everything, but you can't put your trust into this man who is just like you, a human. And so I had to, and I cried through it, and I had to come to this decision that I don't need him to be happy. And I told him, it was a mistake, I shouldn't have said that. But I was like, I came to him one day and I said, honey, I don't need you to be happy. What? Okay, well, that was not nice. Yeah. I don't know, but I wanted my ears to hear it. I wanted me to know that I am sure of it. I don't need him to be happy. I can be happy with him or without him. With him, it's nice. He's a wonderful blessing. If he ever is not there, as long as, this is my cry, God, as long as I have you, I will be okay. As long as, I mean, I can lose everything, but as long as you are on my side and I have you, I will survive. And from then on, God started just, you know, I had a lot of insecurities about how I look, about my nose. I thought my nose is just big and my hair is just all wrong. And God started, like, little by little, you know, showing me how beautifully and just custom-made I am. And how everything about me, see, because we compare ourselves to the magazines, and that's where the problem is. We compare ourselves to the images that are not even, those girls don't even look like that in real life. But we compare, like, oh, my nose doesn't look like that. So, you know, my hair doesn't, I could never make my hair look, you know, like that. And then let's not talk about other body parts. It's just, it's discouraging. And so God started to show me, honey, I crafted you. Like, I literally made you. Everything about you is custom made. It's not good enough for you. I didn't do good enough for you. And that's when I was like, no, God, it's good. It's perfect. I love it. And so it's so freeing. It's so freeing that, you know, no matter, I respect you, I love you, but if you don't like me, well, you know, you don't have to. And then if he is not happy with, you know, some days he is moody. That, I made my decision. That doesn't affect my mood. I will... What can I do if there's anything I can do to help you? But I will not be walking around the house crabby because he's crabby. And then he made the same decision about me, that if I'm crabby, he was like, well, you're on your own. You know, we're not going to be doing this together. So it's been freeing. It's been good.
Amen. Thank you. When you base your identity on what God's word says about you, you make yourself virtually immune from devastating effects of rejection. That was good. That's good. You have to listen to it online. What does God say about you? That you are His precious possession. You're so precious to Him that you're greater than the angels for Him. God never sent His Son to die for the devil. He had His opportunity. God sent His Son Jesus, which is the most important person in His life, to die for you and for me. So tell me you're not important. He loves your hair. He loves your body. He loves your color of your skin. He loves everything about you and me. He loves you. He's in love with you. He crafted you, Bible said, in your mother's womb. He wanted you to be exactly. He has a special plan for your life. People might have plans for your life, but God has a special plan for your life. And when you discover it and begin to do it, confidence will begin to grow. I think Satan has been rejected. Why? because of his sin and iniquity, because of many of his trespasses, Bible says, and sins. And now he can never get right with God. And so he comes to you and he wants to put that feeling of rejection upon you. And so you could put that feeling of rejection on other people. God doesn't want you to be rejected. He accepts you. And if today maybe you don't have a relationship with God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to raise your hand and say, God, I trust you. Come into my life. And God accepts you. He sent his son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life because he loves us. Bible says in Romans 8:17, I'm just going to read through this. Don't have to put it on the screen, guys. Because of God's great love, we are adopted into his family and made joint heirs with Christ. Did you know that you are a brother or sister to Jesus? Did you know that Jesus is my oldest brother? Bible says Jesus is our firstborn brother. Amen. We are adopted into the family of God, kings and priests. We are made to sit in heavenly places, above all authority, over demons and sicknesses, in Ephesians 2:6. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. We are righteousness of Christ through faith, thus being made right before God, Romans 3:22. We are entitled to a clean conscience before God because of the blood and can have full assurance of faith when we go before him. Oh, our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. For God himself has chosen not to remember our failures, Hebrews 8:12. We are loved with the same love that our God the Father loves Jesus. If you want to immune-proof yourself from rejection because your husband, listen, honey, your husband will reject you. Listen, man, your wives will reject you sometimes. God will never reject you. And you have to fill yourself. So number three is this, immerse yourself in the love of God. Baptize yourself in the love of God. I want you to meditate. If you struggle with this, I want you to meditate this one scripture. Okay? Put it everywhere you can. Watch this. It's John 17:23. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. In them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them. This last phrase, so don't worry about the rest. And have loved them, who's them? Us. As much as you have loved me. This scripture changed everything for my life. I began to meditate for months over that. God, you love me as much as you love Jesus? That didn't kick in. Mothers, how many of you can say, I love your kids as much as I love my kids? Fathers, how many of you could say, I love your kids as much as I love my kids? No, we're human. We're not perfect. Although we should love our neighbor as ourselves, and that means we should love our neighbor's kids as our own, but it's not true. I mean, we're trying to get there. But the truth about God, he has a son. His name is Jesus. He loves him. He perfectly pleases him. They have an amazing relationship. And that God loves me, a sinner, a sheep that loves to walk away and run away from him. He loves me as much as he loves Jesus. I don't care what you think about me. If you get the revelation. See, there's more to those words. And you have to meditate on it because those words are alive. And they have to become alive inside of you. Right now, the reason you're not shouting, as you should be, because you don't get it yet. It's not a part of you. You hear it, but it doesn't register that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Ooh, I thought you were going to clap, but that's okay. That's okay. How many of you are enjoying this? So three is immerse yourself in the love of God. If you're struggling with self-confidence, if you're struggling with all these insecurities, immerse yourself in those words. And he loved them, us, as much as he loved me, Jesus. Immerse yourself in those words. It's going to change everything. God loves me. Whoa. As much as he loves Jesus. That's crazy. That's crazy love. Awesome, awesome. Point number four, last one. Four secrets of how to uproot rejection or be immune from rejection is practice instant forgiveness. Jesus was rejected, abused, spit on, nailed to the cross. And one of the words that he said was, "Father, forgive them." He didn't wait till they crucified him. He didn't wait till he, no, on the spot. When people reject you, don't have to say, "Father, forgive them," because they know not what they do. No, not like that. You can whisper like this, "Father, forgive them." Notice Jesus said this. This is deep. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah, they did. They didn't. The reason people reject you is not because they wake up in the morning and say, "I'm going to reject somebody today." The reason people reject you is not because, "I'm going to reject my husband today. Oh, I'm going to hurt him." The reason people reject is because they don't know what they're doing. They got their own issues they're working on. They got their own sins and backgrounds and parents and grandparents and curses, generational things. Curse could be a consequence, okay? Generational consequences that's working. That's another word for curse, okay? Right? Consequences. If you serve me, these are the consequences. If you don't serve me, these are the consequences, okay? And so Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." I'm going to do this one last scripture, and we're going to pray. At Life Group, that I Van's Life Group, actually, was awesome. We talked about this scripture at the end. Jesus talked about two men. He said there was a king who loaned 50,000 gold shekels to a man. And that man was called before the king and said, "Hey, you need to pay me back." And the man fell in front of him and says, "I can't pay you nothing. Please wait on me." And king had an opportunity to throw this man into prison because he owns the money. Give it back, right? It's like you borrow a loan and you can't pay. So Jesus said, this king said, "Okay, because you don't have it and probably won't have it, I'll just forgive you of 50,000 gold shekels, coins." That's a lot of money. That's like $400 million or something like that. Somebody count it. $400 million. So this man, excited, walks out of the court's palace and goes out and sees another man who owes him $50. $50. He came to him and says, "You owe me money. Give it back." And he said, I don't have it. Say. So what he did, Bible says, he went and started choking him. "Give it back, I said. Give it back." And he says, "I can't." So he says, "Police, arrest him. Put him in jail. He needs to pay me back." So Van's friends heard about this and went and told the king. Okay? And listen to what the king said. And the king is God. Verse 32. Matthew 18:32. Then the master, the king, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry. God was angry with the man who didn't forgive. And he delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you, each of you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Listen to this. God says, if you don't forgive, I've forgiven you, right? How many times you hurt people? How many times you abused people? How many times you said bad words about people? And I forgive you all your sins. How dare you not forgive something, somebody else? So, he says, if you don't forgive, you'll be thrown into tormentors, torturers. Who are the torturers? They're demons. God will throw a person who doesn't forgive to demons. I didn't say it. I didn't say it. Bible says it. Jesus said it. He says, if you don't forgive from your heart, God will give you over. Do you remember Saul? He had an issue of bitterness and resentment and towards David. And what happened? Bible says the spirit from God, meaning God allowed this evil spirit to torment Saul. He couldn't enjoy his life. He was a king, but he never had any rest. Are you tormented today? God wants you to be free. And so today, I don't want you to leave and wait till tomorrow you can forgive somebody. And I'm sure they hurt you. And I'm sure it's bad, but let God deal with that. You don't need to carry the root of bitterness, the root of rejection in your heart. If God wants to use your life, He can't use a vessel that's full of rejection and bitterness. Would you drink poison? No. Would you drink bitterness? No. God doesn't want you to live with bitterness. So today is the day. I want you to bow your head a second. Close your eyes. Is there somebody you are unforgiving? Is there somebody you're bitter against? Is there somebody in your life that you're holding hostage thinking I'm punishing them through my unforgiveness and bitterness? God wants to set you free. All it takes is one decision. All you have to do is say, God, I forgive that person and I release him. I forgive that person. Father, I thank you that forgiveness is taking place in this place. Holy Spirit, move. Touch every heart. If there's conviction that needs to be done, do the conviction. If somebody's struggling and has not enough power to forgive, God, I pray you give him strength. Because you give strength to the weary. Help us forgive. Lord, as the minister of the gospel, I uproot the roots of bitterness, unforgiveness, and rejection out of the lives and out of the inner man of the people. You said that you have given us power to heal the sick and cast out demons. And so if there is any demonic activity in the life of people today, this morning, God, I pray, God, that you uproot those things out of their life. Father, plant new seeds of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Plant those good seeds in our life. Love, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you have forgiven somebody today, would you stand? Would you stand if you have forgiven somebody today? Come on, clap your hands. Church, come on, clap your hands. If you have released somebody, watch. Look what the Lord is doing. Clap your hands, church. Celebrate. Would you all stand? Would you all stand now? Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Amen.